Good morning, Antioch Church. I'm Pastor Patrick. It's good to be here with you today. How did you do with Frank last week speaking? Were you nice? Treat him well?
No.
No? Some of you know Frank. He's a good guy. I'm always sad, like, if I can't be here and someone comes to fill in, because I want to be here when Frank preaches. It's like two ships passing in the night. But it's great. I'm super glad that you had the opportunity to hear him and he had the opportunity to come and experience you. So that is really good and makes me happy. We've been talking about prayer in the last several Sundays, and we're learning about prayers. And I was thinking about some prayers. Maybe you've heard some of these prayers over time in your experience in following Jesus, some classic prayers that we unfortunately have prayed at times. I was thinking about the manipulation prayer that maybe I could imagine praying with my wife. Lord, I pray that Kimberly would understand how much I need that new truck. Help her to be able to envision all the features and how happy it would make me if we had that. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills, so it would be no problem for you to provide me with that new truck. I think I've prayed that prayer a few times. Don't answer or confirm or deny. Maybe you've heard the gossip prayer in a group. Lord, we pray for Jim, who just told me that he's cheated on his taxes for 5 years and doesn't want anyone to know. We pray for his sins of secrecy and hiding. The gossip prayer. Or my favorite is the one pastors are guilty of from the stage sometimes, the announcements prayer. Lord, please remind everyone of next Sunday's potluck, which will be at Steve and Amy's home on 333rd Mockingbird Lane. And make sure, Lord, that they remember that everyone whose last name begins with A through L should bring a main dish. And M through Z should bring a side or dessert. Lord, help us have a great time. Oh, my goodness. It's funny, in a way, because I've heard all of those and probably prayed them all myself in one way or another, to my embarrassment. But I feel like I'm with Jesus' disciples who just need to stop and just go like this and say, Lord, teach us to pray. So would you pause with me? Would you join me and just let's have that prayer before the Lord. Father, teach us to pray. Thanks for your grace. Well, we stumble through this and make all kinds of bad prayers and selfish prayers. But Lord, we want to learn to pray well. We want to pray and communicate with you in a way that gives you glory, that gives you honor, that fuels us and energizes us and keeps us focused on what you think is important for us. So, Father, teach us today. And, Lord, as we look into the life of Jesus, I pray that you would do that. In his name, amen. I asked you a few weeks back, like, what triggers you to pray or sparks you to pray? Similar question, when do you pray? Just a when question. When do you pray? Yes! 9:55. Good. We've started praying as a church at 9:55, so we just pause, pray for Antioch. That means you should probably come a few minutes early on Sunday. Otherwise, the prayer is not traffic-related. But come pray for a church, 9:55, or in every single day. Just lift up Antioch. We pray at... Good job, by the way. Who said that? Oh, my... You're a good elder. We pray when we go to bed at night. We pray maybe when we get up in the morning. We pray at meals. We pray at certain times, and there are reasons why we pray at those times. And this morning, as I think about when does the Bible teach us to pray? All the time. That's right. There's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray unceasingly, or as one translation says, pray without ceasing, or as my buddy Dan always said, pray without sneezing. Whatever it is, we should pray all the time. But that's true. There's this practical sense, though, too, I think, this morning, what I want us to see is, when did Jesus pray? Jesus, you know, I don't know what it means to pray without ceasing, like all the time. I think it means more like Paul said somewhere else, pray on all occasions. Like, when you have a reason to pray, pray. But Jesus prayed at specific times and for some specific reasons. And when we look at his example, it's helpful. It's encouraging to me. It teaches me about prayer. So that's what I want us to look at this morning. The times, some of the times that Jesus prayed. Jesus had a great prayer life. And he often, like I've always known, Jesus would get away and go pray. And I was thinking about that. Most of my prayers are while. I'll pray while I'm driving. I'll pray while I'm cleaning something. I'll pray while I'm doing this or that. And have you ever just taken like a time, a day or a couple days just to go somewhere to pray? It's kind of not really fitting with our American, right? The busier you are, the better you are lifestyle. I've done it a few times, and I usually get somewhere to pray, and within about 10 minutes, I fall asleep because we're not used to that kind of pacing. But it's meaningful. I haven't done it as often as I should. But I want us to look at times Jesus prayed. When we do, we're going to see a connection that we don't always make. So just kind of watch for it. You're going to see this connection between prayer and ministry and discipleship, right? Ministry is in like helping people in need, discipleship, helping people follow Jesus. Those things are connected to prayer in Jesus' life. They're often not for us. Sometimes we're like, I just want to learn how to pray. Whee, you know? But they're connected. There's a connection in Jesus' life. So you can watch for that while we go and while we look at when did Jesus pray. So I'm going to give you just some kind of time frames that he prayed, three different times he prayed, and we can learn different things from each one. And the first one is this. Jesus prayed before ministry. He prayed before ministry, and he did it in order to disciple people around him. He prayed before a ministry event, or as it's like just about to happen. Picture like worship service, we gathered at the team to pray or something like that. He prays right before a ministry as a way of discipling people. It surprised me that before his ministry, we don't really find Jesus praying for himself so much. Kind of like I'll often do that. Oh, Lord, church is going to start soon. Help me to like be this way or do this or listen to your Holy Spirit. And, you know, all the, I'm praying for myself and for you both. Jesus' prayer focus was on other people before ministry events started. It's pretty cool to see that. So I'm going to give you a bunch of examples, and they're not going to be on the screen. There's a printed sermon notes, and they're on, I think they're in the programs that are right behind us here somewhere, I think. So if you can grab one of those or take one home, it lists the scripture passages, so you can find those and look them up later. But for now, I want you to just listen. Just listen to them, or go get one now if you want to. but just listen to these passages. Jesus... on the night before, right before he chose his disciples, he spent an entire night in prayer. In Luke chapter 6, it says, one of those days, Jesus went out on a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. I've thought about this before, and I've wondered what that prayer was like. And I used to think Jesus was talking to the Father about which guys he should pick, right? Like, yeah, you're right. I probably should pick Peter because he's loud and he's going to speak up anyways. I might as well have him on my side. I don't know about Judas. There's something about the guy. I just don't trust him. Was he having that kind of prayer with the Lord? I don't see that happening. When I look in Scripture, what I see he's not praying so that he would know what to do. He's praying for people. And I think he was praying for his disciples that when he pointed them out, that God would help their heart to be ready to say yes. But he spent the night in prayer right before choosing his disciples. On another occasion in Matthew 14, he's got thousands of people listening to his teaching. 5,000 households. And the disciples are like, Lord, you got to send them home. We got to close the service, get them home so they can eat. Otherwise, they're going to start getting hangry and looking at us. And Jesus responded to his disciples, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. He broke the loaves, and he gave them to his disciples. The disciples gave them to the people. So there's this big feeding event. It's actually a huge miracle where a little tiny bit of food was multiplied to feed tons of people. But before that happened, right before he broke that bread, he stopped, gathered everyone's attention, and gave thanks so that they would know God was about to do something special. They would know this was from God, and when it multiplied, it was multiplying at the hands of God. And they were learning that Jesus was the bread of life. And that he incorporated prayer at the beginning, just before, as a way of helping to teach them. Over in Luke 9, there's a couple of examples. Luke 9:18 says, once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? So imagine that. Jesus is off to pray in private with his disciples. So I could see him telling his disciples, I'm going off. I'm going to spend a couple hours in prayer, and you're coming with me. And then that opened up the door for him to disciple these guys. Who do the crowd say that I am? Who do you think I am? That whole conversation came because he's praying with his disciples. Or a little bit later in Luke chapter 9 is this passage where Jesus goes up on a mountainside to pray, and he took Peter, James, and John with him. So the 4 of them are on a mountainside to pray. And that's the transfiguration passage where Jesus lets them see him in all of his glory. And they see Moses and Elijah with him. And they're just like, whoa, we've never seen that before. Let's build some tents. Let's build some tents. And the passage that Luke's like, it's because they didn't know what to say. Like they were being dumb because they didn't know what to say. They're blown away with it. But it was this moment of prayer opened their eyes to some spiritual realities. Talk about discipleship. If you're discipling someone and you want them to see a glimpse of glory, a glimpse of heaven, you want them to see the power of God, it came through a moment of prayer together. And the Father spoke to these 3 guys directly. He said, this is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Powerful discipleship that was happening in the context of praying together. So he's using prayer as a way of discipling his disciples. And then I'll share one more from John chapter 11. I love this chapter. It's the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, a friend of a lot of Jesus' group, and he died. And so Jesus went to the funeral service of Lazarus. And while he's there, he goes and he's teaching them this lesson, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will live. But they're at a funeral service, so they're having a hard time believing it. So he decides to make an object lesson. Hey, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus was like the greatest sermon illustration ever. So Lazarus comes walking out alive, and he uses it. But it says in the text This is really interesting. Right before he raised Lazarus, says they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, he's at the funeral service. Everybody's there. He's in the center stage. They're all watching him. And he says this, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here so that they would believe that you sent me. That's his prayer. And then he calls Lazarus out. Lazarus rises from the dead. So Jesus is like, we're about to do this ministry event. People are going to see this, but help them understand that you sent me. He's praying that people would see Christ. And when we do stuff together, when we do ministry together, we reach out to help someone, prayer is an opportunity for us to disciple each other and point each other to Jesus as we do it. It was a huge thing in Jesus' life. You see it in the communion prayer. You see it at the Garden of Gethsemane before he goes to the cross. Before a ministry event, Jesus is gathering his disciples and praying together with them. That's the first time. Second two will be quicker here. But the second time he prayed during the middle of ministry when it got really hard, when it got really tough. I have two examples of that, both at the cross. From the cross, Jesus is uttering prayers. The first one is when Jesus says in Matthew 27, about 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever heard that before, that Jesus said that from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? A lot of people want to explain what that means. I'm not 100% sure I know exactly how the relationship between Jesus and the Father was happening in that moment. But what I do know is he's not crying out, I'm forsaken so much. He's quoting a psalm of lament. Did you know that? Psalm 22 starts off with these words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it goes on and describes what happened to Jesus on the cross. It was like a prophetic psalm. It describes the crucifixion. And so he's on the cross going through suffering and pain. And what does he do? He's quoting Psalm of Lament, just like we've done. Because what does lament do? It calls us to turn to the Father. We bring our complaint and our ask to him, but it leads us to trust. And Jesus is doing that while he's hanging on the cross. He's keeping himself focused on the gospel, on a right relationship with God, right in the middle of the hardest time. And then there was another time on the cross when he says a prayer, not the prayer I might have said, but he looks at the people who've crucified him and he prays, Father, forgive them. They can't comprehend what they're doing. Now, I might have thought, if Jesus just prayed a prayer of lament, and now he's looking at the people who just nailed him to the cross, he could have taken it over one more step and prayed an imprecatory prayer. God, would you do X, Y, and Z to these people who are harming me? Do you know if he would have prayed that, do you know what would have happened? God would have answered that prayer. He already told him, I could call 1,000 angels right now. If he would have prayed an imprecatory lament, you'd have seen pew, 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 lightning bolts flashing out there. But he didn't do it. He said, Father, forgive them. He's praying that God would bring the gospel to life. God forgiving us, just like those Roman soldiers. It was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. God forgiving me of that, that's the gospel. That's what it means. I get forgiven even though I deserve something else. I can be washed clean even though I deserve to be punished. Jesus is literally on the cross taking the punishment for my sin, and he's praying that the gospel would win the day when it gets hard. What an example for us. His life gets hard sometimes. And we can be praying right in the middle of it, prayers of lament and prayers that the gospel would win. the day and win my heart and yours. Well, then one other time Jesus prayed, and it's a little different, is he prayed after ministry. He prayed after a ministry event, and he did that to rest and recover. This was a little bit different. This is when Jesus was done with the work, and he needed to get some alone time. And his alone time was alone with the Father. One example is right after the initial launch of his mission in Mark chapter 1, he's launched his mission. And listen, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases and drove out many demons. He would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Does that sound like an exhausting day? The whole town shows up, and he's doing his best to help everybody he can. And then it goes on, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. First thing that jumps out to me is very early in the morning, because that makes me feel guilty, because I'm a night owl. I don't like anything early in the morning. But I think it wasn't that the morning was a more godly time. I think it's because that's when everybody else was asleep, and so it was the only time he could get away without being seen. But Jesus is like, last night was busy, and I'm tired. I'm going to go somewhere and be away from people where I can just pray, talk things over with the Father, and refresh. He didn't bring any disciples with him when he did that. That was downtime. And that's important time of prayer as well. He did that again after the feeding of the 5,000 that we looked at. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was alone. So Jesus is like, disciples, you guys start walking. I'm going to do the benediction, send them off, and I'm out of here. I'm going to go rest for a while. There's another example in Luke chapter 5. It's kind of more of a summary statement. It says, but now even more, the reports about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him, and he healed their to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. There's a role for after your ministry tired to just go and rest. Don't think you can just keep doing it on and on and on and on. Jesus didn't think that way. He rested. And prayer was an important part of his resting and recharging with the Lord. Pastors have an adage that we have often said to one another, never quit your job on a Monday. Because a lot of Mondays, a lot of pastors, tomorrow morning, a lot of pastors are going to feel like quitting a job. Just because it's just natural to be tired. You pour yourself out on a Sunday. Monday, you're just tired. And it's like, you don't evaluate how you're doing then. Just rest. Just go be with the Father. And be filled with him and just rest. And then Tuesday, you can start thinking about it for the rest of the week. And that's how Jesus practiced. But I love to see that how the times and when Jesus used prayer. He prayed before a ministry event, just part of the discipleship, get people ready to receive what God was doing. During the ministry, when it was hard, he's praying that God would keep him focused on the gospel. And then after the ministry, he's like, I'm out of here. Me and the Father are going to go rest. And I'm going to get refreshed from him. I think it's super encouraging and enlightening for me to just look at how Jesus processed these things. So I have a few applications for you and for me. As we've looked at how Jesus incorporated prayer in his life and ministry. Couple simple things. Number one, are you ready? Number one, pray out loud in front of people. I'm laughing because a couple decades of ministry, I've heard so many people, especially men, say, don't ever ask me to pray out loud in front of people. If I can do all kinds of stuff, I'll move 1,000 chairs after church, but don't ask me to pray out loud. And that's so hard. But I'm telling you right now, if we're going to follow the example of Jesus, learn how to pray out loud in front of other people. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to have great words. You don't have to do it in the King James. Just pray. The simplest prayer you can pray out loud in front of other people is, Father, thank you for whatever. That's it. But find a way to pray out loud. If you're going to disciple people, they have to hear you pray. It's just got to happen. So just make a commitment to find some way to pray out loud in front of someone, and you're bringing them with you into the presence of God. So if you're married or in a family, just make a really solid commitment and habit to pray before a meal. I always think, give thanks to two people, God who provided the food and whoever made it for you. But just say that out loud as a family, and it maybe rotate so the other everybody gets a chance to just say a quick prayer. I would say everybody could pray before you eat, but my wife would remind me the food is hot and ready. So let's not ruin that with a 20-minute devotional while we're all sitting there and the food's getting cold. But use that as a chance to practice. It's just a great time to practice prayer together with the people that you're discipling, which also implies you should be discipling some people. You should have a few people in mind that I think God wants me to influence these people toward Jesus. Prayer is a way you can intentionally do that. Second application I have for you, pray in connection with doing ministry. Did you notice it with Jesus? There wasn't really a bunch of time when Jesus is just praying that he would be a more emotionally resilient person or just praying for some things that are disconnected from his prayer life was connected to ministry. He's praying before he does it, while he's doing it, and for rest afterwards. So do ministry. Find a way. Get involved with a ministry in the church. Find a person or a neighbor that you need to care about and love. Get out there and do something. And when you do it, prayer will come. You'll want to pray. Because you'll be like, I need help. So if you try to develop your prayer life totally disconnected from doing ministry, it's like trying to learn how to juggle just by watching YouTube videos. You can watch a lot of YouTube videos about juggling, but the only way you can, anybody here know how to juggle? Three things, three object juggle? Yeah, all right, how did you learn to do it? Watching YouTube videos. Lord. You got to just pick it up and start dropping the balls and giving it a try. It's the same thing with prayer and ministry. Start doing something that God is calling you to do, and your prayer life will grow. I kind of almost guarantee that. And then the last thing, just obey first, and then you can talk about it afterwards. If you're reading the Bible, you see something God is saying, you should do this too. Just start doing it. It's the same idea. Just start doing it. And while you're doing it, you're going to get desperate for prayer. You'll be like, Lord, I need help in this. This is hard. So learn from the example of Jesus. Incorporate or connect, couple prayer with ministry, and God will help you grow in your prayer life.